You're listening to the 159th edition of the Bitachon Podcast. And I want to mention before I begin talking about a pasuk, the pasuk we spoke about last week, that the last few days have been a challenging time. My Rebbe, my Rosh Yeshiva, Ateres Reishi, Rechil Yitzchak Per, passed away. It's a tremendous loss for us. We've been studying Bitachon together. We studied, you know, Bitachon is something that I learned from my Rosh Yeshiva. The Sefer Faith Over Fear is what we learned together in the Bitachon group. And my Rebbe. And I mention it here in the Bitachon podcast, obviously because it's on my mind. Yesterday was the Levaya and the Kavura in Eretz Yisrael. And there were a few little anecdotes, two that I'm thinking of specifically that I want to share that are related to Bitachon and related to our pasuk, that I think are very much something that we can learn from personally. And I'll probably talk more in the coming days and weeks about my Rosh Yeshiva. Maybe I'll say some kind of hesped. I wrote something which will appear in the Mishpacha magazine this week. And now my heart is heavy, and but tzaddikim b'misasa nikram chayim, the righteous, even in their death, they're still called alive. His teachings are alive through us. We study them together. Who we are, who I am, was transformed because of him. And so the greatest tribute to him is that we speak about Bitachon. And we study together. Kaveh Hashem Ushmor Darkei. Pasuk says, chapter 37, verse 34 of Tehillim. Hope to Hashem and keep His way. V'yirmimcha l'reshis aretz. He will raise you so that you inherit the land. V'yikaris v'shaim tira. And you will see the downfall of the wicked. So as a shari chayim yadua ma'amar chazal. It's known, the statement of our sages, Rishon Tchilasin Shava V'Sevin Yisurim. Our sages tell us that although it looks like the wicked are sitting pretty, they're successful, it looks like all of their machinations are bringing them what they want, but in the end, the experience that they have in the end is one of difficulty. Tzadikim Tchilasin Yisurim V'Sevin Shava. But the righteous, they start off with challenge. They start off with difficulty. It's not easy. It's not easy to do what's right. It's not easy to do what's right. But in the end, they have serenity. Rosh Yeshiva Ha'Per, one of the things that was said over and over again at the Spedim yesterday, the day before, he was somebody who was so committed to what was right. He was committed to do what was right. He wasn't afraid of anybody, something that he saw by his own father. His father, I'm sure I've told you, Memorial Day came, and everybody stood up as the priest, he was there on the bandstand, the priest said the blessing, invoked idolatry. Everybody stood except for my Rebbe, my Rosh Yeshiva's father, Rabbi Menachem Per. He wouldn't stand, and everybody was staring at him, as he was the only one not standing. But that ability to do what's right, it looks, you know, it's more comfortable to go with the crowd in this moment. But in the end, Rosh Yeshiva was somebody who, throughout his whole life, he did what was right and it wasn't necessarily popular. When he came and brought the Yeshiva Far Rockaway into Far Rockaway in the late 60s, it wasn't a place of Torah, it wasn't the place of B'nai Torah, was a place where there was antipathy to learning. And it was difficult and it was challenging, and he said, and I asked him about it, he said it was a lonely time. It was lonely. It's a lonely job. But in the end, today, Far Rockaway, the place that he created, the pears, the fruits, Seif and Shalva. The end is serenity. Interestingly, says the Shari Chaim, Hashem is afraid. If I give the righteous in their youth, when they start off, if everything goes easily for them, if everything succeeds that they do, if that's how it goes, they'll end up rebelling. If they have everything they need, if they succeed, and it's not going to work out good for them. It's the challenges that build us. It's the challenges that, if we have the right mindset, if we follow ways of Maharishi Yeshiva, so it's the challenges that force us to stand up for what we know is right. But when the righteous get old, when they reach an older age, they see that what happened in the end with the wicked didn't end up with such a good life. They didn't end up with all of their heart's desires. They ended up without a family or without anything good really in their life, anything that lasts, no spirituality, etc. They end up with Yisurin. Im yavay alem shefer rav tuv lo yasur einem es asher ro beinim. So at that point, it's okay, so to speak, that all around Maharishi Yeshiva, all around Far Rockaway, tremendous growth of Torah, tremendous support for Torah, tremendous agreement with Maharishi Yeshiva. That's okay. It's okay to have that at the end because there's no concern that things will go sour. Ki acharis rishayim nichrasa. Once we see what happens to the rishayim, once the righteous individual witnesses what happened to the wicked individual, there's no fear that the righteous individual will do anything wrong. Vizeh amar kavi l'shem b'imenu urav. So when a person is young, says the Shari Chaim, the Pasuk tells us, King David, says, hope to Hashem when you're young. Ushmar darkoi. Keep his ways. Hagam shetchilas chayisurim. Keep his ways even though it's hard, even though the beginning of the path, it's challenging, it's difficult. Everyone's against you. Ki yesh tikva, yoramim kol reshes aretz. Because there is hope. In the end, you will inherit the land. Everything in the end will work out. You're going to see. You're going to see that those who have done right ultimately are victorious. Yayin acharei bikaris v'shem tireh. Why? Because you'll see in the end that also you're going to have success. You're going to be allowed to, so to speak, see the fruits of your success. Because there's no more danger because you already see that the wicked have been cut down. Then you'll understand there's no other good besides for going in the way of Hashem. And here, before I continue inside over here in the Sefer, I want to say these two stories that I have in mind. One has to do with Rosh Hashiva's father, Rabbi Nachum Per, Rabbi of South Ozen Park, and one has to do with Rosh Hashiva himself. Harav of Rami Per, my friend, Rabbi Per's son, said at the Levi, he said that years ago, it sounded like it was something about 20 years ago, Rabbi Avrami wanted to sit with Rosh Hashiva and strategize how they can help the yeshiva, how they can bring in more money, how they can deal with building the building, whatever it was exactly that they wanted to strategize about, or he wanted to strategize about. He wanted to develop a plan, how we can succeed, how we can do better. And Rosh Hashiva turned to him and said, Avrami, I'm not somebody who strategizes. I'm somebody who, my strategy is bitachon. The way that I do things is through bitachon. And at the Shiva yesterday, it was said how, so to speak, from a PR perspective and from a, today everything is PR and the way things look. From that perspective, the yeshiva, it's not the yeshiva's greatest, Mila. It's not the something that yeshiva does. And it comes from bitachon. It comes from a life connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't have to do everything. I don't have to strategize everything. And that's, he built a huge edifice a place called Yeshiva Far Rockaway, which I benefited from, continue to benefit from. And he killed thousands of Talmidim. And you're listening to me because of him. Another story I want to say is something that I highly recommend, that you go onto Amazon, type in Rabbi Yechiel Per, and you'll see there are a number of Svarim that he wrote. Some of them are in Hebrew. If you are versed in Svarim in Hebrew, I suggest the Svarim. He wrote a book about his father, about Rabbi Menachem Per. And the book is amazing. Amazing story, life story of Meirat Yeshiva's father. And I knew that there were stories that were left out, because I had spoken to my friend, my dear friend, Mordechai Per, Rabbi Per's son, his youngest son, who's my age. And I had spoken to Rabbi Per about it. I think I spoke to him about it, saying, what about the stories? What about the stories that were left out? The Maifsim. They left out stories that expressed or were examples of unusual occurrences that were supernatural. And Meresh Yeshiva, he was not into, not to say that there weren't supernatural things that happened to him and to his family, there were, but he wasn't into stressing that part. And at the Shiva, the way that it was said was that he only wanted to write in the book, this is what my friend Mordechai Per said, he only wanted to write in the book that which you could learn from, a story that I could take something personally out of. I want to tell you a story that they said, which was left out of the book, which I never heard before. And I take something very powerful out of it, and I think that you can also take something powerful out of it. It has to do with Bitachon. Every Friday night, after davening would finish, so Meresh Yeshiva would go with his father, Rabbi Per, they would go home for dinner, immediately after Meirv. One Friday night, Meresh Yeshiva's father said to him, you go home, I'll be home a little bit late. No explanation. So my Rebbe went home. They were waiting and waiting and waiting. About an hour later, his father came back with a guest. It was the guest. The guest had arrived to shul after my Rebbe had left. The guest had been driving home. It was a frum person, been driving home. And he got stuck right before Shabbos on the highway. He left his car on the side of the highway, and he walked to I don't know exactly how he knew about the shul, but he walked to the shul, to South Ozen Park, to Rabbi Per's father's shul. And Rabbi Per was waiting for him and brought him back for the meal. The wife says, how did he know? There was no way that he could have known about this. There were no cell phones in those days, no WhatsApp, no SMS, no Yedidim, whatever they have in America, that's equivalent. That's the Mythos. Now, they didn't include the story, because what do you learn from this story? But I'll tell you what I learned from this story. I learned from the story this that we're talking about here, that when a person is a tzaddik, when a person is righteous, when a person is looking for opportunities to help others, you get siyata d'shmaya. You have a feeling. Yeah, I don't know what it looked like. I'm saying my own interpretation here, but he had a feeling that he should stay. Maybe, I don't know. I don't think he had a vision. Maybe he had a vision. I don't know. He had a feeling that he should stay and wait, that something was on its way to him. And that's the siyata d'shmaya. It can happen to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu drops that whisper in our ear. Do this. This is where you're going to have atzlacha. Do that. That's where the money's going to come from. Some whispers in our ear. But why does he whisper in our ear? It's because we have a relationship with him. It's because we care about his kids. We care about other people. We're interested in doing chesed and kindness. We're interested in giving tzedakah. We're interested in sharing a word of Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives an insight into what's going on in a medrash. This is how I feel. Try to understand it so that I can give it over to you. It comes because we're connected and we care about others. We care about his kids. And that's what I take out of that story. The Siyata Deshmaya. There was an open, clear, you know, bordering on the supernatural kind of Siyata Deshmaya. Divine assistance. But we can get it also in our lives. When we are connected, and that's what we're talking about. When we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we trust in him, the different stuff happens for us. The wicked people, they go after, it's all me. The righteous individual says, I want God in my life. I want HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my life. I want to hear Hashem's voice. I don't need to strategize so much. I want to go and be talking. Here he brings some of the Drashas HaRash. Yesh Levarash, Kein Hu, Demida Tavim Aruba. Right? The Drashas HaRash says, I want to explain something. You know, we find that there's a general principle that the Mida Taiva, the good Mida, the good attribute in the world is stronger. Let's say we find there's a principle that Rush says that if a person is overly involved in partying, it's something that a person can lose their life from. They're overly involved in Olam Hazeh, in this world. So there's a measure for measure that the person can experience bad things as a result. There's a brackets here explaining people are going to parties because they want to enjoy life, etc. If it's true that in a negative sense, when a person does what's wrong, it causes him to lose days of their life. Just think about it in a very simple, kind of extreme example. A person who's an alcoholic, so it affects his liver. He could die young, etc. But if that's true about somebody who does something wrong, let's look at it the opposite way. A person who's a Yari Shamayim, person who fears heaven. Toisiv yamim gam shemasagiv atzmei b'tainus. So it gives a person more life. Even though he is doing something to himself, let's say a person is on a very high level, so he fasts. There's Bahab coming up next week. He fasts Monday, Thursday, Monday. Person could, who's on a very high level, may fast to as a schus, a merit for the Jewish people. So it seems like he's doing something, he's not eating. And the person who's going to the parties, it's because he wants to be healthy, he has to eat very full. The person who's a Yerush Shemayim on a high level, he's fasting, he's doing something that seems like it will have an adverse effect on his body. He's constantly involved in learning, so he's perhaps devoting less time to his parnasa. But it's gonna turn out, the spiritual principle is that when you are more spiritual, the result is long life. You're attached to the source of life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the intent of the singer, King David, who said, hope to Hashem and keep his way. What does it mean? It means, be involved in your service of God. You're going to inherit the land. It's not referring, according to this understanding, to the world to come. It's referring to this world. You'll be able to attain this world if your focus is Avodas Hashem and service of God. You'll be able to attain this world without doing the regular things, so to speak, that people do to maintain their health. You'll be able to succeed because you're attached to spirituality. Curse Hashem Tira, and you'll see the downfall of the wicked. Those who put all their efforts into maintaining their health and being whatever it is, but are disconnected from spirituality, they lose out. One final thought here from Rav Shamshon and Fal Hirsch. Kaveh, Milashin Kav. He says, Kaveh means hope to Hashem. What does Kaveh mean? It means a language of, a Kav is a line. It means all of my actions, all of my thoughts are directed to Hashem, to God. What happens? The result is that if I'm focusing all of my thoughts, all of my intent, all of my actions towards fulfilling God's will, so Hashem raises the person up to such a high level, that you inherit the nations. That's what it means. Hashem will help you inherit the nations. It means what looks like success in the world. Looks like this country is succeeding, that country is succeeding, spiritually, physically, whatever it is. If we focus, we keep our eye on the ball, we will be the ones who will succeed ultimately. But us, Takir ki chayv Hashem kemashayin enam chayim, we'll understand that the life that the wicked are living is not a real life. L'karis v'avadim, it's just destruction, self-destruction. And I'll finish off by saying what I said earlier about my Rosh Hashiva, that he lived a life of truth, of commitment to truth, in the face of all those who would deny that truth. And the result is all of his students, all of the community that was built around the yeshiva. And the result is, Heimei Yeshu Aretz, the righteous are the ones who inherit the land. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again next time.